Hello and welcome to the Thriving Abroad podcast. I'm Louise Wiles from Thriving Abroad, where we help couples create lives and careers they love while living overseas. We created this podcast to share expat stories to inspire you and expert advice to help you navigate expat life. And today I'm delighted to welcome to our interview Dr. Kate Brubaker. Kate is originally from Oregon, but has lived and worked abroad for many years. Now, I'm going to leave her to fill in the details in a minute. But today, rather than focusing on the process of expatriation, Kate has built her business and focus on the experience of re-entry or repatriation. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. She has a very interesting and I
Okay,
think
well, tell
exciting
me a little bit
perspective on
about
the
the
experience
challenges
and
you've
shares her
encountered
ideas through her
as you've
website and
relocated,
business,
particularly in relation to
Small Planet Studio,
re-entry.
and her recently published book, The Reentry Relaunch Roadmap. Now, Kate's work resonates with me on both a personal and professional front. I've moved home twice in the last 16 years, and I found it to be a challenging process. In fact, sometimes perhaps more challenging than the moves abroad in the first place. I also know from the work we do with corporates that repatriation is, for many employees, the hardest transition that they and their families have to make. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation and sharing with you Kate's wisdom. So thank you, Kate, for joining us. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the podcast. So, Kate, let's just start. Perhaps give us a bit of an insight into how you've experienced your global life so far.
Sure. Well, so as you mentioned, I grew up in Oregon. So, very typical American life. And until I was about 16, I'd always wanted to go abroad. And I think if, there had been exchange programs in kindergarten, I would have volunteered. I'd always wanted to live abroad. And I kind of felt like the odd duck because I didn't know many people where I grew up who also had that interest. So when I was 16, I had an opportunity to live in Germany. And so I went for my last year of high school and I went alone. So now my family went with me. And I was able to live in Germany with a German family, go to a German high school, and I was completely immersed. So I spent the year learning German, basically, and culture.
And did you learn? Did
And
you
so,
speak German before then, or no? So that was a
nope. It was such an amazing year. It was so difficult. And this was 1990, 91, and so well before the internet. And I was completely cut off from my family, my friends, everything for the entire year. And but it was such an amazing experience because, being 16, 17 years old, I was able to learn the language pretty quickly, but also really learn a lot of independence and how to stand on my own two feet. And those skills served me so well when I went home and went to college. So that was, that was the beginning of that global life, and that pretty much, from that experience, I decided, yeah, this is what the rest of my life is going to be like. So I was able to go abroad again for a year in college, and I went back to Germany, went to university for a year. And then after college, I went back to Germany. I got a job teaching English in the former East. And so I was able to, teach, and I didn't want to teach. I just wanted to go abroad again, and that was the job that I found. And so, fortunately, I discovered, oh, I really like teaching. So I decided I would be a German. I'd either be a German teacher or a German professor. Long story short, I ended up getting my PhD in German Applied Linguistics. Decided I didn't really want to be a German professor because I didn't want to live in one town my entire life and work in one university. So I started expanding into study abroad and intercultural training. And I worked with students. I spent 3.5 years working with international teachers who came to the United States. That morphed into developing and leading global programs at schools and universities and in the United States and around the world. And so, my global life has been living abroad, traveling abroad, working abroad, and also cultivating a lot of global connections. And so I really, over the years, I've had to challenge myself to expand that idea of what global means to me as my life has evolved and changed from that very first experience when I was 16.
Right. So as much as sort of living and working abroad, you've also interacted globally, but from a home, from, you know, it's home in inverted commas, I suppose, but from your home base as well. Is that how it's kind of developed?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought I would probably spend a lot of time living abroad. You know, because I was an exchange student and then study abroad and then I was a teacher abroad and worked for study abroad programs abroad, my career and my life has been really focused on that that field. And so for me, you know, going abroad was always something you did for a year or so, and it was always with a very specific purpose. And I didn't even know that, like, you could be an adult expat and spend multiple years abroad. You know, I just didn't even know that opportunity existed for a long time. Had I known that, I think I probably would have gone in that direction. But so I have spent, well, this is why I became interested in reentry, because when I got married and I finished graduate school, my husband finished graduate school, it became clear to me that we were going to live in the U.S. for quite a while because that's where our jobs were. And my husband and I had made the decision when we got married that we would live wherever we could both equally have successful careers.
Right.
We knew that neither of us wanted to give up our career to live in a specific place. And so we made that commitment. And so, you know, it was difficult when I realized that, oh, that means we're going to live here in North Carolina for a while. and that's when I, you know, really started pushing myself to expand my idea of what a global life is. And that's when I became interested in the reentry experience.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the challenges you've encountered as you've relocated, particularly in relation to reentry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been so many challenges. You know, there are some things that are universal in the reentry experience, like reverse culture shock. Almost everybody experiences some reverse culture shock when they go back to their home country, and I definitely experienced that. But a lot of the issues that you experience are unique to who you are. You know, depending on what age you went abroad, what age you return home. Your family, whether you're doing it alone or with a partner or with a family, what your personal history is, what your personality is like. And so for me, my first reentry experience, the one that was the hardest, was when I was 17. And so I came home because I had to. I mean, I didn't actually want to go home, but I had to. And so I was, you know, really sad about leaving this life I had built. And as a 17-year-old, I felt pretty amazed and proud of this life that I had built in another country, in another language, by myself. And so going home for the first couple of weeks was pretty exciting, seeing my friends and my family who I had only talked to on the phone and not even that often when I was abroad. And that was great. But and it was funny because actually I thought reentry was just reverse culture shock for a couple of weeks. So when I got over that, I thought, oh, reentry is not a big deal. You know, I'm okay. I didn't realize that reentry was really just kicking in. And it was very subtle, and it was extremely hard to articulate. I really questioned my identity as an American. I questioned relationships. I no longer felt like I was on the same wavelength with my best friends and my family and the people who meant so much to me. And I felt like, well, I really don't belong here anymore. And it was challenging because I thought, I'm never going to be German. I don't totally fit in Germany, but I don't feel like I fit in the U.S. anymore either. And the challenging thing, because I was so young and I was going off to university, was that a lot of the reentry issues I was going through were just looked at as, oh, well, you're just a teenager, or, you know, everyone goes through this when you go to college. And that was true to some degree, but But the reentry part just made everything really difficult. And so I had a lot of these feelings and emotions and thoughts and questions that I couldn't articulate and I couldn't ever really resolve. So, you know, I muddled through it. I managed. My coping strategy for reentry was simply to focus all of my time on going abroad again. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for years. You know, every decision I made was, will this get me abroad or not? Because I felt like I had to choose between my home and living a global life and being abroad. And I chose being abroad. And I don't regret that, but I wish that I had known how to better integrate both parts of my identity and how to navigate that whole thing better. I don't feel like I really did it as well as I could have. So my future reentries were, on the surface, much, much smoother. You know, I knew kind of what was going to happen, and I had developed some coping strategies, which were marginally effective. And I basically just, every time I came home, I just set my sights on going abroad, which was great on one hand, but then I never really enjoyed my time in the States, and I always felt very restless and unsettled and not very happy. And so, you know, but I just, that's the way I lived for a long time, and I didn't really see anything wrong with it. But about 20 years after my first reentry, so I was in my mid-30s by this time, I realized I can't move abroad. And so my coping strategy didn't work anymore. I realized that I was going to have to live in the U.S., and that's when all of these unresolved reentry issues caught up with me. And I really had to finally deal with these reentry issues. And that was when I realized just how deeply and subtly reentry had affected me. And it took me years to be able to articulate just how much, you know, reentry had affected my life and how I really didn't know how to cope with it in any sort of positive or proactive or effective way.
Fine. And I didn't go away and come back quite as many times as you. and I didn't at that formative age in my life either, because I guess that probably did have an impact as well, didn't it? I mean, just at that age when you're developing your identity and getting a sense of who you are, you're changing culture, and that must have an impact, as you said. So
yeah.
So it took you sort of 20 years to realize that this was an issue for you, and then to work through it. How did you go about working through it?
Well, so I was in my mid-30s, and I had a great international education job, wonderful husband. We had just gotten this great house, and I really, really, really liked where I lived. But I just couldn't shake that feeling of restlessness, like, I've got to move. I've lived here long enough. Now I need to move on. And so it took a while, and I came to the point where I thought, okay, do I want to be miserable living in the US, or do I want to be happy? And I thought, okay, I want to be happy. Well, why can I not be happy? And, you know, I mean, at first I thought, what is wrong with me that I can't be happy here? And so I just started asking myself a lot of questions, like, why am I not happy? Why, you know, why do I feel this need to move again when I actually really like where I'm living? And I just really dug into all these feelings that I had, and I kind of traced them back to, when did I first start feeling this way? And I traced it all back to, the first reentry. And I realized, oh, these things have come up again and again and again. And some of the things I had, you know, kind of worked through, but a lot of them I hadn't. And I assumed everyone felt that restlessness. And I, you know, asked my husband one time, how do you deal with this? Because he's lived abroad. And he's like, I don't have that restlessness. You know, I don't feel that. I'm happy living here. I was happy living abroad. I'm happy living here. And so that also made me really interested in how other people experienced reentry and what, you know, the things that are similar across our experiences and things that are different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've worked in international education for a long time, but reentry was always that aspect where we felt like, oh, it's terrible, it sucks, no one likes it, but there's not much you can do about it. You just kind of muddle through and you deal with it. And so, you know, I just kind of put all of that together, and over a period of several months or a year, I just kept thinking about this. And I kept doing a lot of personal work, just asking myself a lot of questions, like, what's most important to me right now? What does global mean to me? And what makes me happy? What brings meaning to my life? Who are the people that are most important to me? What are the connections that are most important to me? And I came up with a list of about five things that I thought, that I decided were the most important to me, and those things would be most important to me no matter where in the world I was. And I decided that I would focus on having, you know, realizing that I had those things in my life, and the things that I didn't have that I wanted, I would work on creating a life that encompassed all five of those things. Oh. And it took a couple of years. I needed a change in my job, and you know, and then I call those global life ingredients. Oh. Because I, you know, I had that list of the things that were most important to me that made me feel like I was living a meaningful global life that fits who I am at this point in my life. And the last thing I'll say about this is I realized that I had created this vision or this definition of a global life based on my experiences when I was 17. And so I had been trying to live that definition for many, many years, and it fit my life for a long time. But then there was a certain point where that just, you know, just didn't mesh with who I was anymore. And I realized I really needed to expand that idea and create a global life that fit who I am now, and one that would evolve as my life changed over time.
Absolutely. Well, as I listen to you, there are lots of parallels, I think, to, you know, some of the people we work with who work in the corporate environment. You know, one of the big issues often for corporates is repatriating, as we call it in the UK, re-entry in the US, and people back to their, you know, to the corporate environment in their home country if they've been away abroad for some time. And I think for many, it feels like they're turning their back on their global life. And yeah. Organisations often don't help in that respect, because they'll put them back into sort of home country focused roles, not using those international skills. And listening to you and to as you sort of describe your process, I can see how a similar process would be so helpful to these people who are coming back, because they want to move forward in a positive way, taking into account the experiences of the past and carrying that experience and the value and the skills that they've, you know, accumulated abroad into the future, and living with a life that still encompasses that global sort of outlook and vision, rather than trying to shuffle back into home. And I can totally relate to that, because I moved back two and a half years ago. Fortunately, I do what I do, so that gives me still the international outlet. I often do think, what state would I be in if I didn't do what I do now, actually? Because come back into, I'm in the UK, so to come back into UK society and culture, which, okay, you know, in big cities it's quite international, London, but I live in the countryside, you know, it's not very international. I think I'd find that really, really difficult.
Well, and that's the main reason why I went into international education. I just absolutely knew that my career would need to be globally focused. And I think if I had had to just move back to my hometown, and I had not had my, I mean, it's much easier because my career is so globally focused and everybody I work with is moving all over the world and traveling and, you know, or are from different countries. So it's just such a, it's a, you know, it's fairly easy now in my life. But my husband lived abroad, but he works in IT. And so he's not in so much of a global, naturally global environment. And so it's a little bit different. It's more challenging, I think, in some ways for him because of that.
And actually, another point you make about this restlessness, which I think most people who've lived abroad can perhaps relate to. And I kind of
joke with my husband sometimes that we have a solution for our restlessness, and that is to move house. We've done it so many times. And it was interesting. I was talking to my eldest daughter, who's 14 now, and in her life she's moved 9 times. And she was saying the other day, isn't it about time we've moved house, Mum? Oh, no, we've set this kind of expectation in her life, you know, and you kind of, yeah. And that actually is probably quite an important point and something I should consider and think about and talk through with her, because she has this expectation that life changes regularly, but actually for many people it doesn't, and perhaps it won't for her, and makes it happen. So, yeah, it's an important thing to kind of think through and think how restlessness results from perhaps this mobile life and how we do
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I've just come to the conclusion that that's just who I am. I think I was born that way. Mm. You know, I mean, I grew up in the same town, lived in the same neighborhood for the first 16 years of my life. And my family is not really, I mean, my parents especially, are not really like me. You know, like, they love living in the same place, and they don't. My mom moved a lot when she was a kid, so she didn't want to do that when she was an adult. And I was always asking them, you know, can we move abroad? Can we move to a new state? Can we move to a new city? And they're like, why? Why? And so I think I've always been, you know, like that. But I learned to accept that. I've just learned to accept that this is how I feel. And so I need to find ways to, you know, manage that in a really positive way. And so fortunately, I can travel quite a bit. And, you know, and that kind of scratches that itch. And sometimes it's just getting out of my town. You know, sometimes even just taking a Saturday and going to some completely new place in North Carolina. I mean, I'm not from here, and so even though I live in my home country, I've never actually moved. I don't live in my home. I live in a completely new part of the country. Mm. So there's always lots to explore here. And sometimes just like getting out for a day and going to a completely new town in North Carolina scratches that itch. And sometimes it also means you need to, like, go to Australia.
Because I suppose, therefore, although it was a difficult process and an issue that you've had to work through, from it have come a range of opportunities for you. Is that correct to say, in terms of how you have chosen to live your life as a result?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, we often, in reentry, we often really focus on all the negative things. And I did that for years. I always thought going home was a bad thing, and reentry was always negative. And, you know, I could not see it as anything positive for a very long, long time. But I do now. You know, I mean, I really do. And it's an active choice that I make, because it's not always easy. Some days I wake up and I think, oh, I can't believe I've lived in the U.S. now for 12 years. Mm. And I can't believe I've lived here that long. And some days I wake up and I just think, oh, this is not what I want. But then, you know, I go back to my global life ingredients and I think, I have the things that are most important to me. And I still get to travel. I get to do lots of great things. And, you know, and so I focus on the positive aspects of it. And there really are a lot. You know, there are so many positive things. I am closer to my family than when I lived abroad, which is fantastic. Now, that's really important to me. Being back in my home country, you know, things are just easy. There are certain things that are just easier, and I really do appreciate that. There are lots of job opportunities that I have here that I couldn't have abroad. I've even lived in the same town now for, oh gosh, I think 12 years. And, you know, I really didn't want to do that. But I've seen over the years the positive aspects of living in one place, and I love that I have colleagues who I've known, you know, for 10 to 12 years, and so that's been a really positive thing.
And who aren't leaving all and, the time,
okay? right, and I got so used to that, you know, I got so used to moving every couple of years, and, And I mean, I loved that. I think I would be happy moving every 2 to 3 years. I love the newness of things. But I've learned from my husband, who's kind of the opposite. He really wanted to put down some roots, and, you know, he likes really, you know, working at the same place for several years. And I've learned from him the positive aspects of that. And I had to really open my mind to it, because I was not very open to it. And, you know, now it's just every once in a while it kind of hit me like, oh, yeah, this is a really positive thing. You know, I go have coffee with a friend who I've now known for 12 years. And I think it's a really positive thing that I've, you know, we both have lived here this long. And, yeah, so there are positive things. And I really focus on those things now. And I really try to live my life with using and instead of or. I used to see things as or. You know, I'm living in my home country and I'm not doing the things that I'm not living exactly how I want. Or I'm abroad and I'm really happy and I'm global. Now I really try to live, you know, with and. Like, I have lived abroad and I live in my home country right now.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed living abroad, and I enjoy living where I am right now.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I try to,
yes.
I try to live that way more than I used to.
Yeah. And so here's an and for you. So you've lived abroad, and now you have developed a business, the Small Planet Studio, that kind of uses all of this experience to support others. So tell us a little bit about what prompted you to start the business and what you bring to, well, I think we know what you bring to your clients because you describe so much of it, but, you know, what led you to develop it and what do you offer to your clients?
So I mentioned I've worked in international education for about 20 years, and I've helped students and teachers and expats with global transitions for a really long time, but I always focused on the pre-departure and then helping people when they were abroad. And that reentry piece was just always, well, we don't really know how to help people. It's really difficult, you know, to give people what they need at the right time. And it was just, that was just kind of the part of the experience where, you know, everyone just was like, well, I don't know, we just have to deal with it. So I didn't really think about reentry for quite a long time until I really had to face it. And when I came through the other side, I thought, wow, this is amazing. I feel so different. I wish I could have gone through this process when I had first come home. And so then I started thinking about, you know, maybe I can try to, you know, help other people. And so I started sharing what I'd gone through and sharing some ideas with different people, and found that it resonated with a lot of people. So I started Small Planet Studio, and you know, what I really try to do is help people figure out who they are now, work through the really complex emotions and feelings that we have that we often can't articulate, and then I help people use all of that to figure out what's important to them, what's most important to them right now, so that they can build a global life that's perfect for who they are now. Because often we're trying to build a life around who we used to be, or who we were abroad, or who our friends and family or colleagues expect us to be. And that never really works. We have to look at who are we right now at this point in our lives. And so it's that's what I really focus on. And I don't have the expectation that people are going to live at home forever, or that they're going to move abroad. I don't have any expectations there. It's really up to what each individual person wants. And, you know, I love it when people go through the process and then they say, you know what? I am absolutely clear that I want to move abroad again, and I know exactly where I want to go and what I want to do, and I know that this is the right step for me. And they have that confidence to do that and to tell other people, this is what I want. This is what's right for me. And then I equally love it when people go through the process and then they say, you know what? I'm really happy to be back in my home country, because I realize I have these things that are truly important to me and I can still live a global life. So a lot of times when people hear reentry, you know, we kind of want to run from it, because we tend to hear reentry or repatriation. We tend to think it's final and it's fitting ourselves back into a life that feels a size too small, you know, and so we tend to think, well, I don't want that. So I'm trying to change how we hear the word reentry or repatriation to see it not as going backwards and as going home to, you know, that old life, but as a process. Reentry is more of a process rather than a location, and one of taking that time to really process what you've learned and figure out who you are now and be able to articulate that so that you can move forward and create a life that is unique to you and just perfect.
Yeah, so you're creating a life that uses your experience and perhaps, yeah, if you choose, retains that global look outlook or develops or incorporates it into your new life, whether that's at home or abroad. And I love the quote. Yeah. We'll talk about your book in a minute, but in the front of your book, you have this quote from C.S. Lewis, "There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind." I love that.
I think I love it. I have to remind myself of that, because otherwise I tend to want to look at the past and think, oh, it was so great at this time. And then if you're looking at the past, you can't create your future.
Yeah. And I can so relate to that, because when I first moved back, this last time, so 2.5 years ago, I mean, I remember I found it really tough, and for the first 4 months I was looking back, yes, and it doesn't, yeah, it's not a positive way to live at all, and you have to, yeah, I really found I needed to change my focus, start looking forward, and seeing positives in my life back home, which I did.
Yeah,
and I guess it's you move through it, and it is a process. And actually, it's an emotional one as well, because, of course, you're leaving so much that you have loved and have related to relationships that were very important to you. So you always will have some form of dip, I think. If it hasn't meant anything to you, then perhaps you don't. But if it has, then you kind of have to be prepared for that, don't you? But it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
There's, you know, reentry. There's a lot of grieving in reentry, and the process, I realized the process of reentry was very similar to when I was grieving the breakup of relationships, or when I was grieving the death of a family member. And a lot of that was very similar. And I realized, you know, I have to just let myself kind of grieve through the process, because, yeah, you're grieving that life no longer exists.
Yeah.
And that can be really challenging. I think it's a good idea to really, you know, process that. And for some people, it, you know, they process that fairly quickly. And other people, it takes more time. And I think you have to process that before you can really start looking at it as a positive experience and, you know, creating that new life. Sometimes it takes a little while.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to really challenge yourself to think differently about what global means and how it can show up in your life, what adventure is. I did not really want to buy this house, but I knew that it was a good step for us to take, and it was really important to my husband. And he had always supported my nomadic nature, so I wanted to support him in buying this house. And I was terrified that this meant I would never get to travel again. And my fear was totally unfounded. I've traveled so much since buying this house. And I couldn't even help my husband move in because I was abroad for work. So, but it took me a while to, you know, I kind of resented the house. And then as I was going through that whole process that I talked about before, it occurred to me one day that, well, why can't I look at buying this house and having this house, why can't I look at that as a positive thing in my life? I thought, how else can I look at it? And I thought, well, it's kind of an adventure, you know? Like, we're learning all sorts of new things, figuring out how to fix things and figuring out what we want in the house. And I, you know, I really tried to look at it differently, and I realized this is not living abroad, but there are so many things in living in this house and living in this neighborhood and, you know, owning a house that are adventurous. And I realized that adventure and newness and learning new things and being in new situations, that's a really important thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started looking at this house as an adventure, that was also a pretty good investment, my whole outlook changed. And I've really grown to love this house, and I feel so at home here. So that was, you know,
Oh, that's lovely.
always good to push yourself to expand your definitions of things.
Yeah, and I mean it's lovely, and it's a lovely demonstration of how changing your perspective on something can, you know, can shift how you feel as well. So just looking at it from a different perspective and seeing it in a different way helps, yeah, move on. Yeah, so out of your sort of experience of re-entry came Small Planet Studio, and then just recently your book, The Re-entry Relaunch Roadmap. So I guess, you know, what was the inspiration behind that, and what do you hope that it will help people to do?
Well, the inspiration behind it was it's based on the process that I went through when I was processing all of those unresolved reentry issues. And in creating the book, I went through a lot of, you know, it's quite a long process to create it. And it's also based on all of the experience that I've had working in international education and all of the, you know, the theory that I've learned about transitions and all that kind of stuff. And so my hope is that it helps people who are about to go home or who have just gotten home or who maybe have, you know, been home for several years. And my hope is that when people go through it, it helps them process and articulate who they are now, looking, you know, helps them look at and identify the positive and the negative aspects of being at home. And also thinking about the positive and negative aspects of being abroad. And, you know, and so that they can identify their own global life ingredients and figure out what is most important, the people, the connections, the goals, the feelings, you know, all whatever what these 3 to 5 things are that are most important to them right now. So that they can then build a global life and find their next global adventure that is built around those global life ingredients. And that way, then you can be happy and satisfied and and have a meaningful life no matter where in the world you are. So it's for people who are in reentry and who are thinking about remaining in their home country, and it's for people who are planning to go abroad again.
Fantastic. And you should say that it's written as a workbook, so it's and there's lots of content obviously and input from you as well, but there are lots of really helpful exercises for people to work through, and yeah, it's a book about doing, isn't it, rather than passive
Yes.
reading,
Yeah.
which is great, which is what people need at this stage, I think. Okay, so look, we're coming to the end of the interview, but perhaps you could just quickly share four or five quick fire tips on how to, sort of summarizing all of this, how to re-enter effectively.
Sure. So I would say keep an open mind. That's a big one. Keep an open mind and be curious. I think when you go home, you know, it's just like when you go abroad, you remind yourself, okay, I've got to be open to what happens and things that are different and be curious about things that seem different. So do the exact same thing when you go home. Have an open mind and be really curious, and ask questions, rather than being immediately judgmental. So use those intercultural skills that you've developed when you go home. I would also say definitely take time for processing. So if you need to grieve, that's totally okay. Grieve however long you need to. You don't want to get stuck grieving, but definitely give yourself time and space for grieving. And self-care is so important. It's a really tough thing to move back to your home country. And so give yourself time and space for that. And then the last thing I would recommend is when you feel ready, take some time to process who you are now and what you really, really want your life to be, what you want your life to be like going forward. And, you know, it helps sometimes to use a book like my workbook. It helps sometimes to work with a coach or do it in a group. I have mastermind groups, small groups of people who work through the workbook together. And, but you know, whatever you use, just take some time to really process who you are, how being abroad has changed you and what's most important in your life so that you can move forward and create a life that truly reflects who you are and meets your needs, you know, based on who you are right now.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I think there's some really great, really great tips there. Actually, and I know that you're also working and about to launch an exciting event, which is also going to provide lots of tips as well. So do you want to talk about what's coming up this month?
Sure. Yeah, so I am hosting the Relaunch Virtual Reentry Retreat, and I'm very excited, Louise, you're one of the speakers. And so that this retreat is a free event, and it's 5 days, January 23rd through the 27th. There's three sessions each day for 5 days, and it's a kind of a comprehensive program, but you can also just tune in for a couple of sessions. And I have the schedule and all the speakers at relaunchretreat.com, so you can go check out who's speaking and the topics, and then you can sign up to get the links, and I'll send the links out so that you can join in the sessions each day.
Brilliant, brilliant, and I really recommend that retreat. Sorry, I was thinking, lots of R's, relaunch, reentry, retreat.
Yes. Yeah.
And I recommend going and signing up for that. Do go and have a look at Kate's website, smallplanetstudio.com. And look out for her book, which is available on Amazon, is it?
It's available on Amazon, yes.
Great, because everyone knows Amazon, don't they? Well, Kate, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really great speaking to you. I wish I had known you before I came home last time. But I relate so much of what you've said, and you've offered some fantastic advice today. So thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. So the links to Kate's website, book, and the retreat will all be provided at the foot of the blog post that relates to this interview. So if you've enjoyed this episode of the Thriving Abroad podcast, please subscribe and leave a review for us on iTunes. And if you'd like to know more about what we do at Thriving Abroad, you can find us at www.thrivingabroad.com or on the Thriving Abroad Facebook page and on Twitter, where we're at Thriving Abroad. And if you're an expat who's interested in making the most of your international experience and sharing wisdom and tips in a safe, private environment, then ask to join our closed Thriving Abroad Facebook group. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you found this interview helpful. And stay tuned for our next conversation about successful life and work abroad.